Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4. Appreciate the Word of God. And I don't know how the Lord's going to lead tonight, but I guess sometimes I don't want to labor, what you would say, labor a point. But the way the Lord developed this message in my heart was in this chapter. And just staying in the chapter, and there's so much here to look at. We're looking at verse number 27, where the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said, "Neither give place to the devil." The verse before that was, "Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And then he said, "Neither give place to the devil." And we started on Sunday morning talking about the gift. If you give place to the devil, the gift that keeps on taking. There's a gift that keeps on giving with Jesus. But if an individual gives place to the devil just keeps on taking. And what we're looking at in Ephesians chapter 4 are some evidences that will appear and occur in the life of an individual that gives place to the devil. Now, one thing we need to remember tonight is who this entire chapter is addressed to. We have made the statement before, for instance, preaching out of the Old Testament, that all the Bible is not written to us, but all the Bible is written for us. I want you to remember tonight, this is written to the church at Ephesus, but it is to the church of the living God. This is written to us, and we need to approach it as such. I'm not going to go back a whole lot, but just a little bit of review. There could be some that weren't here for the entire message thus far. We just introduced the message, and then we got the first point on Sunday morning, and then 2 points in the message on Sunday night. Brother Gary, you weren't here, but you had stepped out, but we've agreed we're going to give $1,000 more on that truck right now, brother. And then we're going to, Brother Brian's going to get in touch with Brother Grizzle and see if he wants to do anything out of the other side of the mission fund. And then we're going to wait till the first of the year and see where he's at, brother. We found out that it's going to, $12,000 will get him on his way with the truck, but it's going to take $3,500 to ship it. So, and he's about $8,000 right now. He don't know it, but he's at $9,000 right now. Amen. At least. As far as that goes. All right. In introducing the message on Sunday, we were talking about the gift that keeps on taking. We'd give a couple of examples. We gave the example of David, where the Bible said the sword would never leave his house. He gave place to the devil. You might say, well, I thought he just gave place to Bathsheba. That's one of the things God's people need to learn. There's always a devil behind that stuff. Brother Steve, if you and I have a falling out, you might say, well, Steve and the preacher had a falling out. But I guarantee you there's a devil behind that. Amen. There's always a devil behind the scene. And in Samson's life with Delilah, you might say, well, he messed up with Delilah. Well, he gave place to the devil. That's exactly what he did. And then we talked about Elimelech, and I told my wife Sunday afternoon, I said, honey, over half of what I preached Sunday morning, God gave it to me while I was standing here. And I tell you what, I know tonight what I am without him is absolutely nothing. But God wants to speak to our hearts and help us. Amen. And then even while I was praying Sunday morning and closing it out, Brother Rose, I thought about Ananias and Sapphira, how that they gave place to the devil. Peter said, you didn't have to lie about it. You could have just told, you know, what you sold it for, and you're just going to keep this much and give this much. But they lied, the Bible said, to the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost was very sensitive amen, in that early church, and they lost their lives because of it. So they, in giving place to the devil, we have scriptural examples where he just keeps on taking. Just think about Adam and Eve for just a moment. How that Eve gave place. Think about Cain. How that Cain gave place to the devil. Then murdered his brother and then was exiled. You understand what I mean? The devil he robs, he kills, he destroys, he just keeps on and on taking. So we said the first thing in the message was when we give place to the devil, he's taking and it will show up in our mind. The Bible said there, the prisoner of the Lord. I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. So the first point in the message was talking about that a person's is likely to forget who he belongs to. And then it'll show up in our walk. He said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And then on Sunday night as well, we said it would show up in our attitudes with all lowliness, he said in verse 2, and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You ever heard somebody say something like this? Well, I'm just not going to put up with that anymore. How many's ever heard somebody say something like that? I've got to be careful what I say and how I say it, but I've heard that recently, in recent days. I just can't put up with that anymore. And I believe a lot of times it's because when we can't, we don't realize tonight. How many realizes that he puts up with us? Well, I'm glad he don't smack me in the head every time I order to be smacked in the head. Amen. He forbears. He's long-suffering in lowliness and meekness. So it'll show up in our attitudes. And we want to go on in the message tonight and say this. When we give place to the devil, he is taking, and it'll show up in our relationships. He said, preacher, where'd you get that? Look in verse number 3. The Bible said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The next place it shows up when we give place to the devil is in our relationships. We already began to talk about that a little bit in that last point where it talked about our attitudes. But here's our relationships. There's one body. There's one Spirit. I believe when we give place to the devil, it'll show up in the relationships in our home. I believe if a teenager gives place to the devil, it won't be long and they're going to think mom's the enemy or dad's the enemy or mom is ridiculous. Or this curfew is ridiculous, or this rule is ridiculous. And they gave place to the devil. And if we're not careful, as parents, we'll give place to the devil. Amen. And so it'll cause problems in the relationship in the home. But also here, the main thing is, he's talking about the relationships in the house of God. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You all understand and know, if you've been saved very long and been in church very long, everybody's experienced some kind of a church problem or another. Now, I'm going to say this tonight, and you can mark it down. Whether you're on the right side or whether you're on the wrong side, if it goes on very long, everybody's on the wrong side. And they gave place to the devil. That's how it got started. Amen. Somebody's pride. This way we're going to do it. Forget about it. No discussion. No, it can't be that way. Not if you're going to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And some of you have not heard this illustration. Some of you have. My pastor was a deacon before he was saved. This illustrates this point. I didn't plan on saying this, but I believe God wants me to. Better than any illustration I think that I can think of. They needed new pews in their church. They went into a deacon's meeting where the pastor and the deacons met together. And the pastor of the church had found a deal. He was like me and you, Brother John. He likes a deal. If he can just find a deal. And he was excited about it. He laid it out there for the men. And my pastor was a deacon. And he said, Pastor, he said, I know you're excited about this. But he said, I really believe it would be a mistake to buy those pews. They were made out of pine. And anybody that knows anything about furniture knows that it doesn't matter how good you put the joints together with pine, it's not nearly as durable as taking two pieces of oak and putting it together. Okay? And so he said, Pastor, he said, I don't want to cause any confusion. I don't want to cause any trouble whatsoever. He said, but I really believe that we should pay more money and look at getting some oak pews. I believe we would be better off in the long run. Then he said this. He said, but Pastor, I'm going to say this. If you and these men and this church decide to buy pine pews, I'll buy the first one. You see that attitude right there. But he said, if you decide to buy oak pews, I'll buy the first one. And I tell you, that's never left my heart. Because that's the kind of spirit that keeps the unity of the spirit. And the pastor got to doing some research and checking with other churches and things and finding out that they were having trouble. They were not durable. He even came back to my pastor, which was Brother Wishon, and thanked him for bringing it up, for speaking up. Amen. And I think that's important because if we give place, you see, what could have happened? He could have gave place to the devil. He could have said something like this. Ain't you guys got no better sense than that? I mean, anybody with any sense at all knows that pine pews are not going to hold up. And I tell you what, it could have just flat been on in that room. Amen. But instead of that, it was the way it was approached. And there was something more important. It'd be better to sit in the floor in the sawdust than it would to fall out over a pew. Amen. But there's churches that fell out over the color of something. Are we going to have a middle aisle or are we not going to have a middle aisle? I'm telling you what's the truth. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so God wants us to understand that one of the evidences of giving place to the devil, it'll show up in our relationships. I had a couple of things here tonight that I think would be helpful. This is called the Ten Commandments of Human Relationships. Number one, speak to people. There's nothing as nice as a cheerful word of greeting. Number two, smile at people. It takes 72 muscles to frown and only 14 to smile. Call people by name. Number three, it's music to anyone's ears. It's the sound of his or her own name. Number four, this would be good for visitation, all these. Be friendly and helpful. Number five, be cordial. Speak and act as if everything you do is genuinely a pleasure. And if it isn't, learn to make it so. Number six, be genuinely interested in people. You can like almost everybody if you try. Number seven, be generous with praise and be cautious with criticism. Number eight, be considerate with the feelings of others. There are usually three sides to a controversy. Yours, the other fellow's, and the right side. Number nine, be alert to serve. What counts most in life is what we do for others. Number ten, add to this a good sense of humor, a big dose of patience, a dash of humility, and you will be rewarded manifold through your life. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Just that if we give place to the devil, we give him that gift, he'll keep on taking. He'll keep on taking. There are people tonight sitting in the same building, they call it a church, that won't speak to each other. That is pitiful. And I'll tell you something else that's pitiful. I've got a brother tonight that won't speak to me. That's pitiful. It's pitiful. Are you listening to me tonight? And I'll get into something a little bit later. But God wants us to take care of relationship. The six most important words that you'll ever learn that to maintain a relationship is I made a mistake. I admit I made a mistake. The five most important words, you did a good job. The four most important words, what do you think? The three most important words, after you, please. The two most important words, thank you. The one most important word, we. The least important word, I. I. Middle letter in sin. Middle letter in pride. I. The big I. My friend will give place to the devil. And so Paul here is talking about one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Let me just say this to you tonight. We have way too much in common as God's people to fall out over the little things. If we've been to Calvary, washed in the blood, heaven bound with a hammer down, we've got way too much in common to fall out over the little things. Amen. And so, number five, we get on into the message tonight. Neither give place to the devil. The gift that keeps on taking. He'll just rob, he'll steal, he'll kill, he'll destroy. And tonight, God wants us to understand that it'll show up in some places. Show up in our mind. It'll show up in our walk. Show up in our attitudes. It'll show up in our relationships. Then, number five tonight, look at verse number 12. Well, let me just read from verse 7 down through verse number 12. But unto every one of us is given grace. How many can say tonight God's given you grace? According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, wait a minute now. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it that, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave some. Here he's talking about gifts. He's talking about the measure of the gift of Christ. Now watch this now. He didn't give these to all. He gave some. He gave some apostles. I believe, listen to me carefully, that you don't have apostles in our generation. An apostle had to have witnessed firsthand with his eyes the risen Christ. Okay? And then he said, and some prophets. I don't believe we have prophets in our generation. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, what's a preacher if he's not a prophet? He is a forth teller. F-O-R-T-H. Not a F-O-R-E teller. A prophet was a foreteller. God would speak to him. He said, preacher, what are you getting at? What's the preacher supposed to do? He's supposed to tell forth the word of God. It is completed from Genesis to Revelation. When that which is perfect is come and I've got it laying in front of me, then that which is in part shall be done away. But watch this now. Some, remember this, I'm going to make a point here. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. We still have them today. And some pastors and teachers. We still have that today. Let me just say this tonight. Listen to me carefully. I've said this before. Listen to me carefully right here. I've said this before and I believe it's true. Everybody ought to teach at least one Sunday school lesson. if you have to get a bunch of ladies together and every lady teach a ladies class, I think that'd be wonderful. Just once. You say, preacher, what would you gain by that? I tell you what you'd gain. Brother Brian, you'd gain a bunch of prayer warriors. Amen. Every man ought to teach one Sunday school class. And you say, preacher, what would you gain by that? You'd gain a bunch of prayer warriors. Because it'd be you at midnight on Saturday night. Wanting to make sure you had it right. Wanting to make sure you had the mind of God. Wanting to make sure that you didn't embarrass the Lord. Amen. Help me tonight. But let me say this. With that said, everybody doesn't have the gift to teach. I believe that. I believe that Everybody doesn't have the gift to pastor. Everybody doesn't have the gift to be an evangelist. He said, I gave some. Not everybody, not all. But I believe we can all be witnesses. I believe God can use us all. I believe there are other gifts given to the body of Christ. Read the book of Corinthians. Besides the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher. I'm going to give you something tonight. I've thought about this and thought about this. And without hearing this years ago, I don't think I could have come to this conclusion just reading it on my own. I'll show you what I mean. We're talking about here, this fifth point in the message, when you give place to the devil, he is taking, and where it will show up will be in our ministry. Now, when you use the word ministry, you automatically think about the teacher, the preacher, the evangelist. But I'm going to try to get you to understand tonight, if you'll stay with me a few minutes, that every child of God has a ministry. If I'm wrong, you can tell me after church. I don't care. You can tell me. Amen? Won't bother me. But I believe God has given me scripture, and I'll show you what I mean. Now, what I heard, the Bible said he gave the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints. Okay, so you can look at this like this. Brother Brian, he gives us an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher for the perfecting of the saints. And he gives them to us for the work of the ministry. And he gives them to us for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, the pastor and the teacher and evangelist is doing it all. That you can read it that way. In other words, he's given us the pastor, he's given us the teacher, he's given us the evangelist in the church age. And their job is to perfect the saints. Their job is to work the ministry. And their job is to edify the body of Christ. Now, you can read it like that. It looks like he's given us these things to do. And it's being accomplished through the teacher, through the pastor, and through the evangelist. Now, years ago, I heard a man, I don't even really remember where I was, but there are certain things. And I don't say this to put a feather in Brother Brian's hat, but I'll never forget the Sunday school lesson on being overcharged. As long as I live, I'll never forget that. You say, why? Because I needed it. That's exactly why. Amen? I needed it, and I appreciated it. It blessed me. I didn't get mad at him. I needed it. Now, I was somewhere and I heard a man say, listen, God gives the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher for the perfecting of the saints. Okay, now reading it like this. For the perfecting of the saints, when the saints are perfected, then they're for the work of the ministry. And then for the work of the ministry edifies the body of Christ. Now that's the way I heard it. And reading it on its face and on its face value, I would have never come to that conclusion on my own. I would have looked at it in the list. Like you got the pastor, you got the teacher, you got the evangelist. What are they to do? They're to perfect the saints. They're to work in the ministry. And they're to edify the body of Christ. And I asked the Lord Saturday night when I was mulling over all of this. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, how would you have us to see this? What is the truth of the matter? Is it one way right, the other way wrong, or vice versa? First of all, let me go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me for just a moment. We may not get anything else tonight. I believe this might be where we park. Might be where we park the bus tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Therefore, if any pastor, verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I'm sorry. Therefore, if any pastor, is that what it says, Brother Gary? Therefore, if any evangelist, therefore, if any teacher, that's not what it says, is it? It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, ladies, how many of y'all know that's talking about you too? You understand what I mean. That's not just talking about the man right there. But if any individual is in Christ, they're a new creature. Behold, all things, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now watch this. Please stay with me now. I believe it's important. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled. What's that next word right there? I'm going to ask you this question. Could the Apostle Paul have just said me if he was just talking about himself? Certainly he could have. He could have said that he could have said, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled me to himself by Jesus Christ. That would have been accurate, but he didn't say that. He said us. And then he said, hath given me. Is that what it said? What's those next words? The ministry of reconciliation. He uses the word us. If any man be in Christ, then he uses the word us. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, bus number 19, the CD that we listened to the other night. The bus director may have been a teacher, Brother Brian. I don't know. He may have been a preacher or an assistant pastor. I don't know. Sometimes that's the case in a large church. But I do know he was a bus director. And I do know that I think it was D.L. Moody, when he the one in the shoe shop, and it was a Sunday school teacher that went after him. And I do know that God uses individuals in the body of Christ. It's not always a pastor. It's not always an evangelist. And it's not always a teacher. I'm trying to drive a point home. Let's look at it here. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ. Reconciliation, I'm not trying to labor the point, but to illustrate the point, it's reaching out with one hand and taking a hold of God, reaching out with another hand and taking hold of a sinner and introducing them to each other. That's what, in other words, they're apart. Sin has separated them, but somebody said soul winning is one beggar just telling another beggar where he found bread. And so, that's what reconciliation is, bringing two things that are apart together. And that's what Paul wants us to see here. Now watch this. He said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto, did he say me? How many believe Paul was a great preacher? I do. But he didn't say he's committed to me the word of reconciliation. He said he's committed to us. In other words, what is it in the middle that brings a sinner and a Savior together? It's the word of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is somebody taking the word and sharing the word and then somebody else meeting the Savior. I believe when it's done right, that person that introduces those two doesn't even want to be seen. He wants to be in the shadow. He wants God to get the glory. And he wants that sinner's life to be changed. Now watch this. Now then we are, does it say I am or we are? We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Right here is a gospel passage that just won't quit. There's a lot of people that don't understand the necessity of Christ and salvation. They think if I'll join the church or start doing better or go to church, I'll be all right. But Paul wraps it up. He said he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the truth of the gospel. Tonight, I want you to see something here in chapter 4 and verse 29. Look at verse 29 just a moment. Bible said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of, who's he talking to? Somebody help me. The church at Ephesus. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Can you see who it's involved right here in the edifying? It's not just the evangelist. It's not just the teacher. And it's not just the pastor. The Bible said we're built up one upon another. We're all on the same foundation. There used to be, I know Brother Ralph, we've talked about this before, but there used to be in the church men that would tell you, I'm not a preacher. But honey, if you'd listen to them testify for about 5 or 10 minutes, you'd think he's preaching the house down. But what they called themselves was exhorters. They were edifying. Probably a lot of those men never taught a Sunday school lesson in their life, Brother Ralph. Some of them probably couldn't even read and write good. But they knew how to get a hold of heaven. And they knew what it was when heaven got a hold of them. And when they got a hold of heaven and heaven got a hold of them, it edified the body of Christ. It built the body up. Amen. I'm just trying to get us to see tonight. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Watch this. That it may minister grace. So they're not preachers in this text, but they're ministering grace to the hearers. Can everybody agree with me on that? What God is trying to tell us tonight is that God saved every one of us. God has ministry for every one of us. And God wants to use every one of us to edify the body of Christ, to be involved in the work of reconciliation. You know, if that's giving somebody a gospel track, you know, I won't be long. Maybe I can take Olivia with me. Just walk her up to the door and say, go ahead, honey. And let Olivia just take the track and say, you want some Jesus? Pretty plain spoken, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of people that don't want no Jesus. But I guarantee you this, if we'll keep sowing the good seed, we'll find somebody that wants some Jesus. Somebody that wants some Jesus. If we give place to the devil, it'll show up in our ministry. We'll be self-centered instead of Savior-centered. How many's ever heard the term soul conscious? How many believe sometimes we as God's people, we go to sleep like that and we're not conscious of the fact that our neighbor has a soul? The person at Walmart checking us out has a soul. The person that waited on our table has a soul. The person at the gas station has a soul. The person in line in front of you and behind you has a soul. How many believes Christ died for every one of those souls? How many believes that there's a lot of those souls that don't know that? That don't understand that truth? That Jesus died for our sin according to the Scripture. He was buried. And He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. The gift that keeps on taking. It'll show up. Tonight, I don't know if I said something to Miss Eve about it or not, but I thought I might just come in here. And by the way, I didn't mean to on Sunday. I said I had 11 things and I went back and looked at it. There's not 11, there's 13 in this chapter to go over. We've went over 5 of them. How many believes when we give place to the devil, it'll show up in every one of these areas that we've looked at so far? Show up in our mind. Show up in our walk. I'm trying to remember them now. Just going. It show up in our attitudes. What was that next one? It'll show up in our relationships. And then it'll show up in our ministry. It'll show up in our ministry. You know, it's sad, but in America, most people will have Christmas and don't know anything about Christmas. How many believes that's the truth? I'll say this tonight. I'll tell you what, I was studying last week and God gave me a statement. I think it's pretty good. Christmas to a lot of people is just going to be about a man in a big red suit. But you know what I believe? For the child of God, it ought to be about a man that shed his precious red blood on an old rugged cross. Amen. Amen. Ought to be about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of all supreme, through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. I'm just glad you come tonight. I appreciate you coming. I thought I might just get up and run through it, but I don't know. I think we just need to just let God speak to our hearts. You say, Preacher, I don't know how you get all that. Well, if you pray about it, God will let you know how. I'm preaching out of experience. When I give place to the devil, it shows up in my mind. Brother Rose, it shows up in my walk. Miss Eve, it shows up in my attitudes. Don't tell nobody, though. Gary and Houston already know it. Amen, Brother Gary. Amen. I'm not above saying I'm sorry when I blow it. Amen. It'll show up in our relationships. It'll show up in our ministry.